Okay, Mr. Shepherd, can you hear me clearly?
Excuse me?
Can you hear me clearly? Mr. Shepherd, can you hear me clearly?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you. And Mr. Hecker, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start the hearing. I'll begin by asking Mr. Shepherd if you could state your full name and ABC number for the record.
Charles Wesley Shepherd, 43668.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31412A full hearing to consider regular parole or absolute discharge. I recognize that you are already on regular parole and that the greater issue of case is absolute discharge. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. At this moment, we're authorized for a four-member panel. In the room, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, our esteemed Board Chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, and my name is Louis Quinones, and I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. I'll begin the hearing with a brief summary. And because, Mr. Shepherd, you've been on regular parole for some years, I'll be brief, I'll read a shorter summary than usual. Mr. Charles Shepherd, ADC number 043668, is 65 years old. He is certified eligible by the Arizona Department of Corrections for a 31412A regular parole or absolute discharge. The crimes of first-degree murder, armed robbery, and aggravated assault occurred on or about May 17, 1986. Mr. Shepherd, does this sound clear and correct so far?
Yes, sir.
I will read a synopsis of the crime in question. On May 17, 1986, John Romanowski, Delta Somerville, and Mr. Shepherd murdered John Smith. The victim and his wife, Sarah Smith, had flown in from Florida and decided to spend the night at a Travel Lodge hotel in Phoenix before driving back to their house in Prescott. While they were in the room, there was a knock on the door and the victim's wife opened the door. As she opened the door, John Romanowski rushed into the room holding a large caliber handgun. He pointed the gun at the victim and demanded money. Before the victim was able to get his wallet, John Romanowski shot and killed the victim. John Romanowski then pointed the gun at the victim's wife and said, "Get me the money if you want to live." Deborah Somerville took the victim's wallet, and John Romanowski stole multiple items from the victim's luggage. While Mr. Shepherd did not enter the room, he assisted with the murder and was found in possession of some stolen property. He was arrested, charged, and convicted by a jury. Deborah Somerville accepted a cooperation plea agreement to second-degree murder and testified against John Romanowski and Mr. Shepherd. John Romanowski had two trials, which each resulted in death sentences, and each sentence was overturned on appeal by the Arizona Supreme Court. He's currently serving a life sentence for first-degree murder as well as multiple other sentences. Additionally, on February 12, 1981, Mr. Shepherd committed the crime of attempted theft, for which he was sentenced to the Arizona Department of Corrections for 6 years. He was released on December 11, 1985, and approximately 6 months later, he participated in the murder of John Smith. Mr. Shepherd was approximately 33 years old at the time of the incident offenses. He was found guilty by court verdict on June 25, 1987, and was sentenced to life, 28 years, and 20 years to run concurrently. On December 16, 2010, he was granted regular parole by this board. Where he was approved for an interstate compact transfer to Ohio. On July 5th, 2013, he appeared before this board in which his bid for absolute discharge was denied. Mr. Shepherd has numerous letters of support in his parole packet, but we also have an April 26, 2018 letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office opposing absolute discharge. Mr. Shepherd, can you tell us about your progress since you last appeared before this board on July
5, 2013? I'm not really sure what you're asking me.
I'm asking Well, I guess that was kind of general, but you've already appeared, you've been on, let me back up. You've been on regular parole since 2011, is that correct, sir?
Yes.
When were you transferred to Ohio?
May the 20th, 2011.
Okay. I guess my question is, I recognize it's a long period of time. I already read a summary of the case. I recognize that you've already been granted regular parole and have been on regular parole status for some time. I recognize that you made a request for absolute discharge in 2013, which was denied. So what can you tell us about how you have developed in these last years? In these last years, pardon me, and why do you think that you're ready for absolute discharge?
From the day that I was granted parole, one thing was evident to me, that if I did not come back in to the world and do what I would like the way it's supposed to be done, that this was my one and only chance. So when I got back to Ohio, me and Mr. Hackle had a long conversation. He told me what he expected out of me and gave me directions when I had questions. Hopefully I fulfilled everything that he required of me. Myself, personally, every day whenever I wake up, it's my job to be the best person I can be. And I'm hoping that my track record is going to show you that. Do I deserve absolute, release? I don't know. That's probably one of the hardest questions in the world. Because in saying, I deserve this, to me that's kind of like egotistical because, if you're involved in things like I was involved in, those are things that you can't never get back. I don't care what kind of person you are or how hard you worked at it. You just can't get certain things back. But what I do is when opportunity presents itself, I help where I can. I've been the very best person I can be. I help police. I help security people. I do the very best that I can do. And that's pretty much what my life is right now.
Okay, sir, I think, if I can, I'm pretty sure that when you were released on regular parole by this board, technically it was in 2010, but you were released from inside prison in 2011, that it was a completely different board at that time. And then by 2013, when you appeared requesting absolute discharge the first time, my guess is it was probably a completely different board as well. Dr. Rocky, you want to go over?
Yes,
sir. So we are getting to know you, and I'll begin by asking, have you had the same parole officer in Ohio this entire time?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that you've had consistency, because when it gets to the point that we speak to your parole officer, he'll really be able to give us some insight with continuity. Probably a tough question, but in our packet, I don't think it's very specific. I recognize that you were before this board to ask for absolute discharge. It was denied. All I know is that it's been denied. It was denied that time. So how do you feel that you had let me put it this way. I'm getting a little tongue twisted. How do you think that you have evolved since the last time you've been before this board up until now? Because it's about 4 years, is it not?
Well, the last time I went before the board, my introduction, you know, because I was gone such a long time, you know, the world keeps turning. It don't stop. And the last time that I was before the board, I had a lot of aspirations to do certain things. And I said about doing those. But at that time, the board didn't even have a track record for me. And they explained that to me. And I don't know. I mean, I don't blame them. I would put my time to it. Because ultimately, somebody's going to ask you, if I mess up down the road, why did you do that? Well, if I can't give you a reason to release me, then why would you, you know? And so I said, okay, they need a track record. So I've done everything I could across every T, about every I, so that I can give you everything to base this decision, hopefully in my favor. And that's, I worked a lot of times, you know, 60, 80 hours a week. My family, that's who I generally interact with. I do have friends, but I'm real selective about that. There's a lot of people that I grew up with in Marion, Ohio, because that's where I was born, that I don't associate with. And it's because of criminal past, or maybe they're doing something that I believe that would get us in trouble. And, you know, regardless of what happens today, I'm real happy that I even am in Fleetwood Pool. So, you know, I'm not going to mess that up. It's like me and Chad was talking once, and I know y'all put down rules for us, but the rules that we lay down as individuals for ourselves, I believe is much stricter than what you the board members did. And because I want to, you know, I want to absolutely positively let everybody know, look, that Chuck Shepard's been gone. This is the guy that you got now, and this guy that it's going to be forever. And I'm happy with who I am. I've come to terms with it. And I'm enjoying life. I really am. So as far as the evolution process, I'd say just getting back in society and trying to catch up with technology, how things work. I mean, I had to go get my niece to help me deposit my check because I didn't even know how to do that. Now, you know, I take care of the bank myself, you know. I didn't know what a cell phone was, you know. I'm pretty good. I do conduct most of my business on cell phone. I get dispatched and everything on my job. Most of my paperwork's taken care of through technology. And that was really hard. In 2011 or 2012, there's no way that I could have said, yeah, I can get out there and do this, because I had no clue what it was that I was going out into. But I think I made a pretty good transition. Kept my nose clean. Didn't have no problem doing that. So.
Okay, so let me jump around a bit. One is, I think you had pretty fortunate timing in dealing with technology, because I think everyone was getting familiar with iPhones the year you were released. So you've probably caught up with all of us. It was kind of a shock to all of us. Everything has changed so much in terms of technology. And I recognize what you do for a living involves getting dispatched. So I'm sure it's probably second nature now.
Yes.
And did you remarry on the outside, or...?
No, I have a girlfriend from that I was with back in 1960s, and me and her, we've been living together since I've been out. I haven't got a divorce or anything yet. I don't know, it's like, I don't communicate that way. I don't want that way to know where I'm at or anything about me. And the girl I'm living with, Claire Little, she told me, yeah, let's just do it that way.
Let's call it out. I will say without any judgment, that's understandable. And I want to commend you on this, certainly not to lecture, but it's always impressive when people understand that falling back into the same crowd can really be a bad recovery. So it sounds like that you've been very well adjusted about returning to the community and that you're very conscious of the company that you keep.
To tell you the truth,
go ahead, sir.
My family, the support that my family gave me, and sometimes I go and have talks with Chad because I really wouldn't know, certain ways to handle stuff, and he's always been pretty direct with me and always gave me real good advice. So, I mean, I wish I could take all the credit, but I really can't. A lot of people contribute to my success. And, I got to give them their props. They worked just as hard as me, and I love them for it.
Well, sir, I recognize this is a bit loaded because your parole officer's on the phone right now, but how has that relationship been since 2011 when you started in Ohio on a professional level, so to speak? It was a question for, we'll talk to the parole officer shortly, but how has your relationship been in terms of, I'll just say, like on a system level, how you've been getting along inside the Ohio parole system?
I don't even recognize one hiccup. He sat down and told me what he expected out of me, and I told him, I'll be fast, I'll kill it. That's what I've been doing. And he's always, every time I left his office, I left with a positive attitude that I was doing the right thing. He's always encouraged me. So I think I've been doing real good.
In your record, this is, I guess, more of a curiosity. I just have a very curious mind. It looks like that you joined the Army for a while underage. Is that correct?
Yes.
And how did that work out?
Not good at all.
I'm sorry. Not to be real. It sounds like an interesting story now. I'm sure it's the same in your life.
No, I didn't have a concept of the future back then. I really didn't have any structure before I went in. And whenever I was there, they took a seventh grade dropout and stuck him in communications and wanted to be a teletype operator. And heck, I ain't never even seen a teletype before in my life. I had not a clue what they were asking me to do. And I don't know. The thing about going to Vietnam, that's what I thought I was signing up for. Because it seemed to me that was what we should have been doing then. And Vietnam really wasn't even in my future at all. So maybe I'm lucky in a way, but I really didn't have a clue about Army life. And like I said, it didn't work out good at all. I got dishonorable discharge. It was terrible.
Sir, I haven't spent much time in the crime in question. As one voting board member, usually when someone's at this area, I prefer not to go back all the way to the beginning like we're having this hearing the first time. It seems like that you've arrived at a certain place. But I will ask you, how did you end up in Arizona at that time in your life when these crimes happened? How did you end up in Arizona?
I've been traveling most of my life, and I was a parole violator out of Ohio.
Oh, I see.
And back then, my whole mindset was to stay one step ahead of the police. So you have to change addresses a lot, and hopefully you're ahead at the end of the day. But it didn't work out that way.
Well, thank you for being so honest regarding where you were at when you were young. What do you think changed in you along the way? It sounds like you sound pretty well adjusted, that you've had a transition to the free world. So what do you think along the way before you received your general parole, what do you think changed in you?
Well, when they sent me to CB6 and CB8, that's pretty isolated right there. And you have to come to terms with yourself, or you end up being one of the people that, you know, yell, scream, kick, and all that stuff, and chop yourself up. And that, believe it or not, that helped me. I came to terms with me. And then when they moved me out of state, that gave me the opportunity to work on me as like changing a mindset. And then by the time I got to Chad, my mind was pretty well set on where I was going to go, what I was going to do. And seriously, I really think that CBA, it was the one that started me back down that road to switch me up.
Okay, so were you spending your last part of your prison term in Ohio or in a different state?
No, I was in Illinois when I got caught.
Okay. Let me ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Yes, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. Mr. Shepard, in somewhere in all of this paperwork that we get, I thought I saw that restitution was owed at one point. Is that true, and has that been taken care of?
I'm not really sure, and I wouldn't want to stand here and misrepresent myself, but if there's restitution that's owed, I don't mind paying.
And I'm not sure, but I thought in the court documents somewhere, I saw that there was restitution of about $3,500 owed. I would think the courts would have taken care of that, but one would think that needs to be addressed. I'm looking, and usually it's in the sentencing documents, which I have right here.
I see it too.
Yeah. So I don't know about that. That would just be a question kind of hanging there. And that was my question, Mr. Quinones. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Any questions from other board members? Yes, Dr. Wright.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Wheat. So, Mr. Shepard, you studied quite well, and you've done extremely well since you've been up in the state of Ohio. Unfair question, but I would like to ask it at any rate, and the wording may not come out right. What do you think at this time the board should grant you absolute discharge, sir? If you have to tell the board in your own words, why do you think the board should do that at this time, sir, in terms of your career in the system of being incarcerated, sir?
Well, probably the thing that I have to assume that, you know, okay, I mean, I got out, I got a job. It's rare that I was there without a job. I don't owe bills. Everything that I've ever owed, I pay, and I pay one time. I'm not one of them guys that's late on payment. As far as my commitment to the family and friends, that's why them people wrote those letters, is because they say I am committed to that. I'm committed to never, ever, ever having to look over my shoulder again. And like I said, I interact with police a lot of time on a daily basis. And to me, that's a big plus for me. Because I remember I used to not even want to make eye contact with them. And if they looked too long, that meant I had to change the state I lived in. But now they call on me for aid, and that's what I do. I aid and assist them.
So why do you think they call on you, sir? What have you done to have such a...
That's my job. I handle wrecks, clean up wrecks. I throw people in distress. Sometimes the police themselves get in wrecks. And I have to go and I have to do that.
I don't want to say how this board is going to vote because no one knows at this time, but in a few minutes we will know. But if you give an absolute discharge, how would this benefit you in your thinking? How would it help you towards your future goals and objectives, sir?
That's a hard one right there because. I think that it would open doors for employment opportunities because then I really wouldn't have anything holding me back. As far as my general life and my welfare and things like that, I don't think that it would change that because I don't know. I just don't see anything like that changing. But if I got an absolute discharge, then I could go to where, like I could go to Missouri and take this truck driving course. And instead of getting paid 80 cents a mile, I'd get paid $1.60 a mile. There's probably a lot of things that I'm not really looking at right now where it would aid me, but I don't really look for it to change my life drastically because I don't want it to change. I want my life, you know, it's on an even keel right now. This is the most even keel I've ever been on in life. And it's not for parole, it's not on discharge. It's because that's what I decided to do. So, I would say the biggest thing would be employment opportunities.
We just asked another question, and then we'll move on for time consideration. But I read your package, I've gone through the entire package, but just want to make sure I understand. I know you have a number of others in here, but who are your closest supporters, sir, in your opinion at this time? Who are those that's closest to you, whether it's family or community, or who would you consider to be
closest to you? Connie Boggs, Claire Little. I'd say those two right there.
Are they friends or just support, community supporters? No, I'm just saying, are those close friends or just people that you know in the community? I'm just trying to get a feel of who they are, so I mean...
Yeah, one of them's my sister.
Okay.
And the other one is the girl I live with.
Okay.
My sister has always been a rock. She stayed with me throughout everything. And she's still with me today. And the girl I was dating back in the 60s, I've been with her ever since I've been in Maryland, and she's always supported me. And I have niece Donna. She's always been with me. She loved me in prison, everything. So those are the people that, like, everybody can't be sunshine. But even on my worst days, I have people I can go to. I have people I can talk to. And those are the people that's been influential.
And you did mention that, I'm going to use the word young lady, but the person who was being a friend since day one, back when you were growing up in the community, and you maintained contact with her throughout your period when you were committing these offenses, and now that you were on parole, so you maintained contact with her all of these years, sir?
Yes.
Can't find too many friends like that. I commend you for that, sir. Okay, sir. Well, thank you so very much, and thank you, Honorable Mr. Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman. Mr. Johnson, yes.
Sir, I just have one more question for you, and I just wanted to, I just want you to explain it in your own words, okay?
Okay.
All right. In your letter that you sent to the board dated April 30th of 2018, you made a statement in there that said, and I'm just going to read it to you. It says, I'm not getting rich, but this is the best quality of life I've ever had. Can you just elaborate on that a little bit more for me?
Yes, that is. This is, when I was growing up, I grew up in, have y'all ever watched the babies? Married with children?
Yeah.
They're a very dysfunctional family. Well, mine was about 50,000 times worse than that. My whole life has been just one disruption after another after another. I can get up in the morning. I don't have to worry about nothing. You know, I got a job. I know how to pay my bills. I don't know how to extend myself. I don't have to worry about the police coming and taking what I have. Or I don't have to worry about nobody coming and looking for trouble with me. When I go to a family member's house, you know, they're happy to see me instead of, oh my God, here he is again. You know, there are just so many pluses that statement is that deals with. You know, this is absolutely the very best life I've ever had.
Thank you, sir.
I don't really know how to say it any better than that, because I don't have worries. I don't have problems. I have problems like everybody else does, but I don't have problems legally. I don't have violent problems. I don't have alcohol problems or anything like that, because I don't mess with it. I don't tolerate it. I don't really allow that stuff around me. I got people around me that drink every once in a while, but they don't try to push it on me. They know my opinion of it, and, you know, I'm not one of them that goes out and preaches to them about what they should be doing. I'm too busy doing what I should be doing.
So, all right. Well, thank you, sir. I don't know how that's to say that.
This is the best life I've had in my whole life.
All righty. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Back to you, Mr. Shepherd. I think we've asked a good variety of questions of you. I'm going to go ahead and talk to your parole officer now, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Hecker.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm going to be informal. Talk to us. He's been your case for quite some time now, and I think it's really, really a privilege to talk to someone who's had this much continuity in the parole officer, and we recognize that you have that dual role.
that you are an enforcement officer, but then you're also a bit of a social worker. So how do you think Mr. Shepherd has progressed?
He's performed outstanding. He's been very consistent with residency and employment. He has not presented one violation behavior since he's been here. There's no violations, no sanctions, no write-up, nothing. It's just he's done very, very well in that regard. He's worked, like he stated, he's worked pretty much the entire time. I know when he first moved here, he was paroled to his sister. Shortly upon arrival in Ohio, he reunited with Clara and ended up moving in with her, and he's been there ever since, and it's been very stable and consistent. He has worked at several different locations, but it seems to be that it's always, he hasn't quit a job before he's had a new one, and it really seems to be a better circumstance, or at least a lateral job. I can't remember him taking steps backwards regarding employment. So it seems like he's had very good support, no violations whatsoever. His initial assessment with our risk assessment, needs assessment, he scored it as a moderate. And then from there, the following year, he scored out low, and it's been low ever since. I think he bumped up to moderate one time a few years ago, and I can't remember if it was just the way a question was worded that affected his score, but consistently low risk, low needs, and I personally feel he has received max benefit of supervision personally, so he's done very well.
Let me ask this, and if you don't have memory of why that he took that bump to moderate for a short while. Were drugs or alcohol ever on the screen to begin with, or he's been clean this whole time?
I have never had an issue with him with drugs or alcohol.
Outstanding.
Let me see here. My pull up his risk assessment. He's had high needs in criminal history and moderate priority needs in education and employment, and both of those have been addressed, and they are not issues at this time. So his case plan has been completed. Our risk and needs assessment deals with criminal history, education, employment, family and social support, neighborhood problems, substance abuse and mental health, peer associations, criminal attitudes and behavior patterns, and responsibility and barriers. Again, he's had a high priority need in criminal history, and that's just due to his lengthy criminal record, and then a moderate need of education and employment, and that's attributed to the fact he probably never held a good job prior to his release. That has not been the case since he's been in Ohio.
Let me ask you this question, and because we had an opportunity to shadow Ohio for a short while last year, we recognize you have a very fine correction system. Do you have, now again, we're careful about recommendations, asking parole officers for recommendations for home arrest, absolute discharge, or regular parole absolute discharge, but do you have any sort of rating system in terms of how you would rate the status of a parolee?
Again, we the Ohio Risk Assessment System, which is our ORAS, and it's kind of what I just read off to you. He's okay. Four below. I mean, which to me is good. That's where we want him to be. I can tell you this. I was recently promoted to the position of senior officer, which I gave up most of my caseload. And to assume more administrative responsibilities. I kept some, but the one that I kept, because he's been doing so well, he's one of those cases where it frees me up to do more administrative duties because I don't typically have to worry about his case. So I kept some of the good ones, so to speak. So he was one of them.
So is it safe to say that, and I mean this in the appropriate way, that you feel invested in his success?
when he reported to me for his initial office visit upon arrival in Ohio, he very much had a very clear plan in place, and I equated to a new lease on life. He had a second chance at being alive, and in my opinion, he's taken advantage of that opportunity and hasn't looked back, in my opinion. So he's, again, 7 years without any sort of violations. That's impressive, in my opinion.
Well, thank you for your candor. I'm checking something here real quick, and then I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Okay, fellow board members, any questions for our parole officer from Ohio?
I mean, I don't have any question, but I just want to follow up on something that you said, Mr. Meade, and that is, we did have a wonderful stay. The three of us, four of us in the room at the moment, the three of us had a wonderful stay up at your facility, up at your headquarters there in your state capital, and well, I'll tell you what it was. It was, what you call that thing? Halloween weekend. That's when we were in Ohio, and as Mr. Corrales indicated, that we shot at some of your people, and we were very impressed with what you're doing up there in the state of Ohio. And maybe one day you'll come out here and see what we're doing in the state of Arizona, since you have at least one of our people there who's done well. So just want to say that we were impressed so very much, sir, when we had the opportunity to be in your capital and to meet with some of your wonderful people.
Well, thank you. I very much appreciate it. Thank you.
Before we continue here, Dr. Wright, a quick question.
No, that's it.
The reason why I was double-checking is because I recognize that we have two different spellings for Mr. Shepherd. I know that the ADC number is consistent, and I know that we're speaking with the individual who's on. But should we cross that out and we spell it on the blue sheet to ensure that we have the right spelling of his last name? Because I think he's got Shepherd with an A and then Shepherd with the H-E-R-D spelling. I've just never thought of that before. I don't know if it's something I need to cross out.
I don't think we need to cross it out, but I think we need to make sure that for applicants that we have the correct Arizona PRC numbers. And if we have that, I think we'll be set.
Mr. Shepherd, could you state your DOC number again just to be sure on this end?
4-3-6-6-8.
Yeah, that is definitely the right ADC number. And how do you spell your last name, sir? Just to make sure that...
S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D.
Oh, okay. No, it's the right one on the blue sheet. I guess some people have spelled it with an A on some other forms. So, our form is correct. So that's not an issue. Any other questions from fellow board members for the parole officer or Mr. Shepherd?
No, sir.
Okay, Mr. Shepherd, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We really ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already shared with the board, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel you need to share?
No, not really. I pretty much said everything that I could be to tell you. Maybe it's pressure. I'm breaking under pressure. So, you know, no, I really can't think of nothing else. You know, without repeating myself. So, all I can do is just leave it in your hands and hope I did the right thing here.
Well, thank you, Mr. Shepherd. And I do want to tell you, I almost, regardless of how this board votes today, I admire your quiet confidence. Some people might feel obligated to say additional information for its own sake, but I do think that you've given us some very interesting information. I think you've had quite a journey, and if, as one voting board member, I find your discussion with us very earnest and sincere. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, especially because we're on the telephone, that it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So, Mr. Shepherd, if you'll just remain on the phone, along with the parole officer, we will come back to you shortly with our decision.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shepherd.
Okay, thank you.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, again, this is an interesting case. I'll begin by saying that because we've been able to accent the positive, I don't want to dismiss that certainly Mr. Shepherd had some serious issues in the criminal justice system. There was a victim in a terrible crime that happened many years ago, but at the same time, he spent many years in the Department of Corrections, seemed to have found his way in the rehabilitation process, and a previous board found him fit for regular parole. He's been on that regular parole status for a good number of years now. Without second guessing that board, it's certainly understandable why at least some board members are careful in consideration about moving inmates from status to status, from home arrest to regular parole, and then the ultimate goal of achieving absolute discharge. So again, I won't second guess that board. I'm sure they have their own reasons for their last decision. I will say, before I hand it over for discussion, that I find Mr. Shepherd very involved. I can't absolutely confirm what's in his heart or mind, but I just find his answers very direct and well-adjusted considering where he's been up till this point, and that's where I'll begin. Oh, and I wanted to add, I found the input of his parole officer very meaningful in terms of having that continuity, and the fact that his parole officer actually chose to keep him on his caseload when he took over supervisory responsibilities is meaningful. So that's where I'll open up the discussion. Yes, Ms. Rittenhouse, thank you.
I appreciated the two things that I think I was impressed with the most about Mr. Shepherd is one thing he just said in today's hearing. He said, and I wrote it down because I like the quote, "The rules we lay down for ourselves are much stricter than any that the board could put down." So he's got his own internal set of rules, and anything anybody could impose on him, he's already got something, an internal guidance. But the thing that I liked in his letter was that he's talking about what he's done since he's been released, and he said, "That's why I enjoy being a tow truck driver. Every call I get is someone I can help." And I thought that was just a very nice sentiment. I highlighted that, and then his tone and his conversation with us today has just been more of the same, of that same thing. So I would be in favor of absolute discharge. I think he's fully rehabilitated if that ever needed to happen.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. And before I continue with other board members, I did want to follow up because of something you said, and that is the reason why I said I don't know what is in the heart or head of any individual. One thing's for sure, this is someone who does not sound like he's following a script. Mm-hmm. His answers sound very earnest, well-thought, and sincere, and he said several very wise things along the way that just sound very well to me, and I hope that it does come from someplace deep down. Any other remarks from fellow board members?
Agree.
Okay, then, fellow board members, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and we will see where the votes land. My motion is, and we don't get to do this every day, to make a motion to grant absolute discharge for Mr. Charles Shepherd, ADC number 043668.
And I'll second.
Great. I'll agree.
seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright and the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Make sure I check the right boxes and release type granted. That's 411 absolute discharge. And I will double check on our paperwork to see if there's anything else.
It's really 414.
414, I'll be left with
the honor. Oh, I'm sorry.
414, it's the bottom of the list.
Mm-hmm. Oh, pardon me, thank you for that correction. Then what's 411 then?
A different type of absolute.
Oh, just one
type, yeah. That's the
pardon me, pardon me.
He's using the 411.
Like having to
look different.
Cross things out, but I'll check it out. And once again, release type granted, 414, absolute discharge from supervision. There are no denial issues, conditions of release, it's not home arrest. I'm not sure if there's anything else to check.
No, sir.
Okay, well then we'll just keep it simple. Mr. Charles Shepherd, did you hear our vote?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, well it was unanimous to grant absolute discharge from supervision. And we want to congratulate you. This is one of those moments where there's a little bit more levity in the room. It's unfortunate that we don't get to shake your hand, but we do wish you continued success in Ohio. And we also want to congratulate your parole officer, who seems to have done a fine job of working with you along the way.
Thank you.
And hopefully that will continue to be an occasional check-in with each other on that. At times, hopefully both of you will continue to do more in Ohio. That being stated,
I really plan of it.
Mr. Cummings,
thank you, yes, thank you very much.
Reminder that that's not immediate.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse, because I did have that sort of like, am I get ahead of myself feeling. But again, Mr. Shepherd, please understand that there is some administrative process into ultimately releasing you from supervision. So we ask that you be patient for that paperwork to be completed through the Department of Corrections. But again, we wish you continued success. Anything else, fellow board members? Okay, then we're going to bring this hearing to a close. Again, congratulations, Mr. Shepherd.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to end the phone now.
Yep.